meredithassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meredithassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE FM 91.5 on your radio dial there, tuning device. And today is Tuesday. And if you're wimpy, that means it's time that you get to pay for your hamburger. Any Popeyes, the Sailor Man cartoon fans out there would understand that. I will gladly repay you on Tuesday. So anyway, we pray that you are having a wonderful day, and the blessings of God are operating in your life. The Word of God is moving powerfully in your life, and that you are seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So that's what we have been looking at, and we're going to return to John chapter 6 today. John chapter 6. We're going to begin reading in verse number 30. I think that's about where we ended on yesterday's program. And verse number 30 says this: "Therefore they said to him, 'What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' Then they said to him, 'Lord, give us this bread always.' Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So let's stop the reading there for the time being. We may continue further. We're going to stop that for the time being, and pick up where we left off there in verse number 30. They came to Jesus seeking him, if you remember, because he had fed the 5,000 men, the ladies and the children, and not just fed them a little. He had fed them to where they were filled, they were satisfied, and there was an abundance left over. So they got into a ship after they realized that Jesus was not where they thought he was anymore. They got into a ship and went over to the other side, seeking Jesus because they wanted to make him king. They were going to make him king by force. And that's never going to work. That was never going to work. It wasn't God's plan. Okay? And so Jesus begins to confront them and tells them the reason that they were seeking. They made the journey all the way around because they were seeking Jesus, but they were seeking him for the wrong reason. They had a carnal desire to seek after Jesus because he had miraculously fed them. So they go on in verse number 30, they ask for a sign. Now, I don't know about you, but I have never had my cupboard multiply spontaneously and supernaturally to the point that it would be able to feed thousands and thousands and thousands of people. I've never had that happen. I would think that if I sat there, experienced that blessing, that would be all the sign that I would need. All of a sudden, the sermon that he just preached would have a great deal more credibility. They had sat there and listened to him all day, and yet they still hadn't learned anything. I wonder how many times we sit in church and there's wonderful things that are happening. The Word of God is going forth, and there are answers to prayer and testimonies and miracles that take place, and yet we still don't learn the lesson that God wants us to learn. And so they said, "What work will you do? Our fathers ate manna in the desert. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus responds to their statement. He said, "I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven." Men are not our natural source. And men are not our supernatural source. God is. God is. And so once every, 2 years and once every 4 years, we have elections in this country, and we think that men are going to be the source that God uses. And I want you to understand that God does use people. He partners with people. He uses them for his glory. But God is the source. God is the source. Where if there's anything good that happens, it's because God is the source. Before everything went crazy up at the Capitol and stuff like that, with the riots, I had done a teaching, and the teaching was this: don't look to Egypt. Don't look to horses. Don't look to chariots. That's not the way that God brings that. It is still not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. If there is going to be transformation, I'm not saying that there is not an importance to the governmental process. There is. Wicked kings led Israel into worshiping other things. I am very concerned, about the division that we see in America. Very concerned, because a house divided against itself cannot stand. I've told people, I said, I've been pre-trib all my life. I believe that Jesus is coming back before the tribulation, where the wrath of God is poured out on humanity. I said, but here in 2021, we're seeing where major corporations are now determining who can buy or sell, and that's right out of Revelation chapter 13. I mean, I'm not saying what they're doing is the mark of the beast, but they are sure getting warmed up for the process. But between that and other things that the government is doing, I was having a phone call with my brother recently, and he said, I always looked at the book of Revelation, and he said, I always thought people can't be that stupid to just go along blindly with the things that they read in the book of Revelation. And he said, and now I realize, yeah, they could go along with it very, very easily. Men are not our source. We make mistakes when we lower the field of vision from fixing our eyes on Jesus to fixing our eyes on the creation of Jesus. So Jesus said, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, an act of the past. Now, it lasted for 40 years, but it was from the past. And he says, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. It is something that he does now, and he does perpetually. He gives you the bread from heaven. If you really study this passage, you are going to see that the manna that was given was actually a type. That's a theological term, meaning a picture of Christ. The New Testament talks about that Jesus was the rock that was following them in the wilderness, providing the water for them. And that manna was actually meant to have people see that that Jesus was the bread of heaven. That's what you'll see in John chapter 6 as you study it. And you see that God does not want to give Jesus just once. He wants that to be a daily manifestation. And he goes on in verse number 33, and he says, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Okay? He just doesn't give life to individuals. Let me see if I can find a reference real quick. I don't have this in my notes, but I believe that I can find it pretty quickly over in the book of Colossians, and it's chapter 1. Here it is. In verse number 15, we begin to read this. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence." So you see, everything that exists, everything that consists, all of it is because of Jesus. He is the bread of God. He is the bread of heaven. And he came down from the world to give life to those who were dead in their trespasses and sin. Okay? There's a lot of people that have this really messed up view of God. They think that God, you know, well, God is punishing from, God just hates me, just wants me to suffer and all of this sort of stuff. And I want you to know that that's a lie. That's a lie. He sent his son so that you could have life and have it abundantly. It's the devil that comes to steal that life. So I want to tell you that if God wanted us out of the picture, all he would have to do is withdraw a little bit, and all of a sudden oxygen would be gone, food would be gone, the protection of our planet from the harmful effects of the universe, all of that would be gone. And guess what? In an instant, we would go from alive to dead. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that Jesus came as the bread from heaven so that we could have life. It invokes a very interesting response from the crowd of people that had come seeking Jesus. Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." Okay? Now, that, I mean, when I read that passage as I was preparing, I thought of the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Jesus is having a conversation with her. And he's talking to her about living water. Here he's talking to this group about living bread. And verse number 13, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Listen to what the woman said. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Okay? And so just like the woman who was searching, these people are still seeking, but they're seeking for their needs to be met. And when Jesus, now listen, he does not deny their request. He just opens their eyes to see what the answer looks like. And when they see it, they don't like it. Here's what Jesus said. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. So Jesus said, you want the bread that God sends to give life. And they said, we want it all the time. We want it all the time. And he said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. And he said, and you still don't believe. Isn't it interesting how short our memories can be? I know a person, they've been healthy most of their life, and they said this in a joking manner, but they'd been healthy. I mean, they are in their 80s and not from anywhere around here, and they got sick. This was a long time ago. They got sick, and it knocked them down health wise for a period of a couple of weeks. and his response after a couple of weeks was, he said, I've been sick so long I don't even remember being healthy. And he was saying that joking. He's got that type of sense of humor. But it does give a pretty accurate picture of what humanity does with the blessings of God. We very much are inclined, sadly, towards a what have you done for me lately type of attitude when it comes to God. Jesus said, I fed you. You still don't even understand how I got from that side of the sea to this side of the sea. And you don't believe that God sent me. You don't believe that I am the bread of life. You don't believe that without me, this world is going to fall apart. So let me just touch on that for just a moment. Without Jesus, the world will deteriorate into a cacophony of chaos. It just will not. It doesn't end well without Jesus. Nothing ends well without Jesus. Government without Jesus doesn't end well. Education without Jesus doesn't end well. Financial abundance without Jesus doesn't end well. Good looks without Jesus doesn't end well. Athletic capabilities without Jesus does not end well. What a business without Jesus is not going to end well. You and I, we need Jesus. We need to believe. He says, all that the Father, this is verse number 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Now, this is a great promise. He said, if you're seeking me, and you're seeking me because the Father has given you the bread of heaven, and you come to me, he said, I'm not going to reject you. I'm not going to throw you away. I'm not going to deem you without value. One of my life goals has always been to pick up things that the world has cast aside as having no value and restoring those people to value. I've done that with the ministries that we've had. I've done that with the businesses that we've had. I've done it with homes that we've had, the church that we pastor, because I don't believe that God is interested in diminishing value. I believe that he is interested in enhancing value. Do you know why Jesus ascended back to the Father? He went back to the Father, and he said, because it is expedient for you. It is in your best interest. It is profitable for you. Because if I do not go back to the Father, then I cannot send the Holy Spirit. I can't send God the Holy Spirit. It's profitable. So whenever we seek God, we need to realize that our focus can't be on getting our prayer answered. It can't be on getting the latest blessing that we need. It can't be on getting the boyfriend, the girlfriend, the husband, the wife. It can't be about getting the job. It can't be about any of the temporary things. It's got to be about seeking him. Now, here's the good news. When we seek him, his entire entourage of blessings come with him. So, salvation, healing, soundness of mind, financial blessing, the word of God. Let me put that back a little higher up on the list, because when he comes, he's going to bring his word, his teaching, his ways with him, so that we know how we should live. I'm old enough to remember where people were freaked out about the thought of Christians being involved in politics, and their objection was this: Christians are going to try and legislate morality. No, that's really not it. We are not looking to make it easier for immorality, but you've got a free will. You've got a free choice. You're going to decide whether you're going to live a moral life or whether you're going to live a sinful life. You know, I have this mindset. Look, you're an adult. You're a grown-up. You make your own decisions. So I don't try and make everybody's decisions for them. I just like to make sure that they have the information. Here's the blessings for obedience. Here are the consequences for disobedience. What are you going to do with it? Now, the reality is Christians weren't interested in legislating morality. What they were interested, or what the people who were interested in legislative mandates, were the people who were interested in legislating immorality. That's where the real mandate came from. And so we Christians, we realize, hey, there's a price to be paid for living contrary to God's word. There's a price to be paid spiritually, socially, financially, relationally, whenever people start calling good evil and evil good. That's where we are. He said, Jesus said, I'm not going to cast you out because I believe you're valuable. He believed that you were so valuable, he went to the cross because of the joy of being reconciled to you on the other side of the cross. So he says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Okay, so Jesus came seeking to do the will of the Father. Okay, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. The scripture says that Jesus not only desired to do the will of God, but he delighted to do the will of God. And you and I, it's still that battle of the will. Whenever you are seeking Jesus, there's the battle of the will. Whose will is going to prevail? And I want to encourage you to submit your will to his lordship so that you get to walk in his leadership, his lordship, his salvation, his blessing, his healing, his preparation, his order, his peace, his wisdom. So much is available if we will just say, you know what? I think that God's way is better than my way. Okay? And it's not a compulsory thing. You know, I remember hearing the story of a mother who had told her son, "Don't you walk outside." And so he put his toes right on the threshold of the patio door and laid out so that he was fulfilling the letter of her mandate without, you know, doing the heartfelt mandate. And, you know, the mindset was, you know, I may have to do what you say, but it's not because I want to do it. What if the church in 2021 said, "What I seek more than anything else is to know what the will of God is and to do it. Run with it. Run with it unfettered. Run with it with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength." I like to ask people this question whenever they're holding on to something that they know the Holy Spirit has put their finger on and said, "You really need to let that go." I asked them this question: did Jesus die on the cross so that that thing could govern your life? I don't think he did. So I want to encourage you. Jesus is the bread of heaven. He gives life. He's still worth seeking. But let's seek him for who he is, not just for what he does. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Faithful one, Jesus Christ, God's Son.